Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I must say, yesterday was a historical day, Juneteenth. Some of you people may not understand how significant it is to our community. They even gave us a holiday, a three-day holiday now. They call it a three-day weekend. But here's what's even more important that people have to understand. When you stand up and fight, you win. There's never, ever going to be a change without a conflict. And there's going to be some casualties. If you want change, you are going to have to stand up and fight. And make sure you cover everything. Everybody is expendable. You can ask this government. They will kill you. Yes, they will. And blame it on you. They will say that you killed yourself, knowing that they had killed you. They believe that they can do anything they want to you. I know on this show you have heard me talk about target individuals, people who are being targeted by the government. You've heard me say that many times. And I remember when I first started talking about it, people were thinking that I was nuts. You know, oh, that is not happening. Our government would never do that. I'm going to tell you this. Our government would do anything. Don't put anytime you said they won't do something, believe me, they will. They will kill you and blame it on you and think nothing of it. They can attack you now from a satellite, microwave, electronics. There's a reason why they want everyone to have a cell phone. Years ago, you would have never thought about a cell phone. Do you know what they can do with the cell phone? Once something is on this phone, even when you delete it, it's still on your phone. They can put stuff on your phone. They can make people think that you did something that you did not do. They can make people think you said things that you did not say. This is the world that we live in today. But the bad part, we accept. One of the things we don't realize, it's more of us than them. It's more of us than them. When will they learn? When will we learn that there's strength in numbers? We can do so much as a group. We can protect each other as a group. As an individual, you're vulnerable. They will come after you. Yes, they will. They will come after you. And they will do whatever they want with you. They will attack you on all levels. And it's not a whole lot you can do unless you're organized. You got to be organized to fight these people. You heard what they did to the whole Iraqi army. They used that mind control on them. What happened in Cuba? That was mind control. China, mind control. They're using mind control on people. And I know people, they wouldn't do that. They're not going to do that. That never happened. You're making that stuff up. No, I am not making this stuff up. This stuff is real. We're living conditions now because people don't believe that this this government would do things. Do you believe that this government care about some Juneteenth? No. It is done to pacify you. You see, it's like in the black person mind, we won. What you win? We won a day off with pay. Wow. Another victory for black folks. That's how they got you thinking. This is done to pacify you. Now, I appreciate it, though. You know, I'm the type of guy that says one step at a time, you see. Kind of sacrifice, you see. And what they have done, they have neutralized us. A lot of us don't have that fight in us anymore. We're willing to fight each other. But we won't fight the real enemy. Maybe we don't know who the real enemy is. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people think your neighbor is your enemy. That's right. A lot of people believe that their neighbor is their enemy. But he got to be our enemy because the white man said so. The white man said that your enemy is your next door neighbor. And we believe that. A lot of times black folks believe what white folks say. And they don't even believe that they are some of the greatest liars there is in the world. Fortunately, we got to get better. We got to get better than this. Oh, well, let's thank them for Juneteenth. Let's thank them, you see. But that's like putting a bandage on a gunshot wound. You see, that's all it is. But we're 50 million strong. And maybe even more than that, because a lot of times black folks don't want to get counted. We're 50 million strong, the way they count. And yet we're begging them for stuff. Them agents had a couple of fights. And they get a law passed that we've been trying to get passed for 400 years. So they give us Juneteenth to pacify us. Have you ever went into an agent shop and got your nails done? And how they talk to you black folks? Picking in this Asian place just the other day, a couple of months ago, they had attacked a black lady because she gave them a $100 bill and they claimed it was only a $50 bill. So when she called back and asked about it, they said, yes, you did give us a $100 bill. So she said she was on her way to pick up her money. When they got there, they locked the door on her. Police. They was planning on beating her down. And these agents that went out here, they got them a law passed overnight. All it took was a couple of beatings and that, and they've been hanging, killing, shooting black folks for years. And we can't get nothing, but they gave us Juneteenth. It's now a holiday. Juneteenth. Wow. Unbelievable. What a world. What a world. But we've been celebrating Juneteenth all along. In the last 20 years anyway. But now, since they gave the Asians a whole law, they passed a law just recently making Juneteenth a legal holiday. Now you get a three-day weekend. Now you can go back to killing each other, not going to work, and this is the way they think. But it's unfortunate. And that's the unfortunate, I mean exactly that. Our way of thinking. Our thinking has to change. We have to get just ourselves. We got to think about the future of our children. You see, that's what's at stake. That's where we dropped the ball. That's where we made the biggest mistake. That's where we are losing this battle. That's where we got to change. We got to realize the power we have. I'm talking 50 million people. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But let me bring in my first guest. My first guest is going to be only Gloria Wilburn from beautiful Philadelphia, a girl who I loved dearly when I was in Philadelphia. She came to see me. Hey, I really, really appreciate her. She's one special person. Gloria, talk to me. Tell me about you today.
All right. Greetings and happy Father's Day to all the happy fathers out there. But Reverend Pinky, when I hear people discussing, oh, it's black on black crime, it's this, it's that. I call myself a POW, a prisoner of war, because they're using military weaponry on us, okay? TI is very simple, and a prisoners of war. This is war. We're at war. But what is happening, there is something called microwave auditory hearing. Okay, a gentleman named Alan Frey became the most active researcher on the health effects of microwave radiation in the United States. His studies were funded by the Naval Research and the American Army because of the expanding use of radars by the U.S. military at that time. He was testing his theories on rats and frogs. Well, there was a gentleman that decided, let's take this a little further, Ross Addy, Dr. Ross Addy. And he helped, my mind, Dr. Ross Addy, was studied with people, the doctors and scientists that came from Germany. You know, they had doctors and scientists were destroying the people in Germany. That, you know, it was horrible, the Holocaust. So when they came to trial, that was called the Nuremberg trial. So during this trial, they discovered, oh, these people, they're horrible. Oh, the heinous crimes. Oh, they're wicked. We'll have to kill them. We'll have to destroy them. Well, what they did instead, some of them went to Russia, and some of them came to America. And this is where they continued. Whatever they were doing in Germany, they continued it here in the United States. And as I was looking and like, what is this? Who's doing this? You'd be surprised. The companies that we purchase things from, such as General Motors, they were funding the Nazis. You know, from here in America, they were helping them over there. So they bring these people here, and they continue with their experimentation. Now, Alan Frey, well, they pronounce it Frey or Fry, he didn't seem to want to go any further past the frogs and the little animals that he was dealing with. But this other gentleman decided, let's go. And that's where they can send beams to the back of your head and put voices in there. And they call that V2K, microwave audio hearing. The Pentagon calls it AI or artificial intelligence. But why on us? And through all of this, you're like, somebody, you know, somebody has to stop it. Some president, I'm going to give you a part of a speech that dear President Obama gave. Therefore, the international order that we have worked for generations to build, ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. The order and progress only can come when there is surrender, when you surrender your rights. The order and progress will go on when the individual surrender, and it will be all-powerful to the sovereign. So he's telling you, give up. Just give up. Let us run your life. Come on, we can do this. If we do this, you just listen to us, because he tells us, he's telling us we're not bright enough. Your minds are small, but we are bright enough to pay taxes so they can do all this madness. You know, we're bright enough to vote these people into office, or maybe not so bright. So as you keep going and looking, you come to Dr. Fauci. And this thing, it's like, when I finish this, then you start connecting the dots. They've been working on this for a long time, and a lot of people know it. Fauci's wife is head of the Section on Human Subject Research. That's what we are, the targeted individuals, or the POWs. We're human subject research. I'm ethical human subject research, but it's still research. At the NIH, that's the National Institute of Health. And the brother-in-law of Fauci, James L. Husky, he's in control of the information that's released to the public through the FOIA, or Freedom of Information Act. Now, that many of us have written to the FOIA, like, what's going on? Help me. What's happening? And you get a little skimpy nothing back. And to me, this sounds like a conflict of interest. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Listen, before you go, let me ask you one question. You call yourself a POW. You're a prisoner of war. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
They're using military weaponry.
Mm-hmm. And they've been using military weaponry for a long period of time. Is that correct?
For years they've been. And then this Addy gentleman, he was trained under the doctors and scientists from Nuremberg when they had Operation Paperclip. That's when they brought them to America, and set them up, gave them homes, gave them jobs, and then they continued with their madness.
Wow. And, you know, now they don't refine their torture. Now they can do it from the satellite above, you know, and that satellite could track you anywhere.
Oh, yeah, there's a GPS on us. Well, most everyone now. Everyone can be tracked.
Right.
Everything in your house, a smart TV, any appliances, your refrigerator, your stove, everything is weaponized. And then they have these fusion centers. I live in a town, a borough, where they have a fusion center. And at this time, I'm being gang stalked. You see some of the maddest things going on. And when you look at the people, they look as if they're under a spell. And that's where the Frey effect comes in. There's someone in their head telling them, keep walking. I had a young woman walk in front of my car the other day, and she never looked to the left, to the right. She just kept straight ahead. And because I recognize the Frey effect, and I feel a lot of people, sometimes I wonder if our dear president isn't under the Frey effect. These communities here in Philadelphia, they shooting. A guy turned the corner, and because the car almost cut this boy off on a bike, the boy follows the car and shoots the car up. What? You know, every day, Philadelphia, Chicago, there's another area outside of Philadelphia, not far from the church that you were at, Reverend Pinkney, and there's always shootings there. So when you start observing in the town of Chester, they're starting to, they have a soccer field. They have a soccer team there. They have a casino there. They have an underground prison there. So there's money to be made there. They have a waterfront. So it's like, okay, we're going to come back into this area and get you guys out. And if it takes another young man killing another young man, so be it. So
Gloria, some of them guys that's out here killing that they say is gang related, they're agents too. They're paid.
Oh, sure.
A
lot of shootings occurred. They said that the sharpshooters are on the roof, and they shoot them in the head lots of times because then they can harvest the organs.
Absolutely.
That's another big money maker. So
wow,
everything
that is
connected.
Yeah.
Everything is
really
connected.
You said the word harvest the organs. And a lot of times people are not looking at that. That is one of the things that I talked about years ago, you know, and people thought that, hey, well, he's nuts. He's saying stuff that, you know, I can't support it with actual evidence, but it got to be something like that because some of the stuff just don't make sense.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
And right on.
You find that this young man that was killed in the school gym, when they found him, he was all rolled up in a rug. Now, how does he do that? How does he kill himself, roll himself up in the rug, and then when they unrolled him, they discover he has no organs.
None. Not one thing. Well, listen, Gloria, hey, I want to thank you so much. Wow, that was very, very enlightening. I'm hoping my TI family really, really took notes on what you were saying, because what you were saying was huge. And a lot of that people don't quite get it. But I got to let you go. But let's talk soon, because I tell you, this is something. We got to keep it this way. Well, thank you so much, Gloria. You know you always, always welcome on this show. And I want you to know that we love you.
Thank you.
And you take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
Peace.
Amen.
And free the land.
All right. Peace and free the land. Let me bring in my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown, before I bring in my main guest. And Belinda Parker Brown, the one and only, the one, it's not two of them, there's only one, Belinda Parker Brown.
Hey, Pastor Pinkney.
Hey, well, you, Pastor Morgan want to talk to you. Look, Pastor Morton wants your phone number. He said, I need to have her phone number. I said, that's your cousin. You should have her phone number.
Right. You don't want my phone number. That's for sure.
I think you mess around and call her and Carl answer the phone. It's gonna be some problems.
Right.
So I said, Carl don't even laugh at his own jokes. He'll crack a joke on him.
He showed, though. He's like knocking people out for a living.
with that left hand, too. Remember that.
Right. He knocked out Leon Speaks in the military. That's what most people don't realize, that he knocked out Leon Speaks before he became the world champion for knocking out Muhammad Ali. You know, so
well,
my husband knocked him out.
Right, but that's how he became a champ. After Carl knocked him out, he said he got to get some practice in. That's what he was saying. He said I got to get tough, because ain't no reason nobody keep beating up on me.
I ain't got no
tooth. That first thing came out of his mouth.
Pastor Pinckney, today is Father's Day. You my spiritual father. I love you. Happy Father's Day to you. I'm going to have to hit you up on your Cash App or something. I don't know what's going on. I want to come to Michigan, but it don't look like we're going to get a break to leave Louisiana. There's so much going on here. And that's kind of like what I wanted to talk about, that Gloria was talking about how they, you know, we're, I think she said that we're being weaponized by the by the government, and that we're we're definitely in a serious war, you know, and it is some type of military or something, government war or something going on, but it's the high ranking official that that is in control of this, Pastor Pinckney, because these people are so notorious in what they're doing, is to that it's to the point where it has become so blatant in your face and like looking at you and saying what you gonna do about it. And
right.
That's one of the reasons why, you know, with this murder of Ronald Green that made national news a couple weeks or so ago, because of the fact that they had concealed the video for over 2 years. Some good people from the inside leaked the video, which they never intended for the video to be leaked. And 18 months after the murder of Ronald Green on video with him to death and bragged about how they beat the ever-living effing out of him, and they came and they were emailing each other back and forth with the attorneys. We just broke that news story here a couple of days ago, Pastor Pinckney. They had the nerve to put it in email on how they were going to get away with beating this man to death with a civil suit, you know, how they were going to beat the civil suit by lying and saying that they was going to construct a way where the car was the cause of his death. And in the emails, they were going back and forth with each other saying how they can say the car, you know, hit the tree and that, you know, he died at impact. And, you know, they was just going back and forth and back and forth. So, but had not the video leaked where this man was crying, begging for his life, telling them that he was sorry, that, you know, he was scared, in a high-speed chase trying to get away from them, that we wouldn't have never knew that. They would have succeeded with the lie of constructing the accident in a way where they can show that he was dead. The accident is what killed him. Like they told his mother before the video leak was that he hit a tree, okay, which was a bold-faced lie. And then when the video leaked, we could hear him screaming and crying and just begging them, you know, please, officers, Lord Jesus, you know, I'm scared. I was scared. I was, you know, I'm sorry. I'm your brother. You know, him saying all of this on the video, okay, that they had a nerve to lie and then come back and show how they was going to cover it up in an email, that this man died in a car accident when he hit a tree. There was no tree. He never hit a tree. And the sad thing about that, Pastor Pinckney, the saddest thing about that is that they're still working. There have not been no arrests, nobody indicted, nobody put in jail and arrested from the governor's office on down. And they got all of this evidence. You take one look at that video, you see that they murdered this man on video and bragged about it. You look at the emails that they, you know, trailed back and forth, you know, among high-ranking officials, captains, sergeants, lieutenants, superintendents, colonels, all of this stuff, the governor, the attorney general, everybody knows about it, Pastor Pinckney, and these people are still working in our communities. Nobody have been arrested. That is the saddest part about it.
And, you know, when you think about it, you know, they've been doing this for years. You know, and I should say not just years, centuries. You know, here's the shame part of all this stuff. You know, it's not really what they do; it's what we do. See, they done gave us, they done rewarded us with Juneteenth now. They gave us a holiday. Now you got a 3-day holiday now. So now you pacified. You can have 3 days to go and jump around, dance, whatever you want to do. And you know, long as you don't go out there protesting, doing all this stuff, they all right. So what we have to do, see, one of the things that it had to happen, see, we don't understand our strength. When I'm talking about black folks, it's over 50 million black people in this country. Over, you know, they say it's less, but it's over 50 because black folks don't like to be counted either. You know, for whatever reason, they don't want to be counted. So when you talk about the power we have, we're a country by ourselves, depending on these guys to do things. We should start educating our children, getting them to be doctors, lawyers, carpenters, bricklayers, pipefitters, all these things to change the economy that we have in our community. And we should be bad from black on black bag, you know, stop going out to all these other communities, spending our money with them and getting nothing in return. If you're not circulating your dollars inside your community, you ain't doing nothing. You help.
Even worse than that, you know, we have to stop letting these people dumb us down. You know, the white is on the top. You know, the white is on the top. You know, it's automatically, they don't intend for us to make it to no, you know, high-ranking, you know, administration positions or anything like that. And then what happened when a few days ago when President Biden came out and he announced that he was going to, you know, make the Juneteenth a national holiday, and they brought that 94-year-old woman in there. I just feel bad because she didn't get what she had been fighting for over 50 years. She didn't get that. All she got was crumbs. And, you know, it's just sad that she wasn't able to stand up and look them face to face and eyeball to eyeball and say to them, you know, don't play with my intelligence. You know, making this a national holiday don't mean nothing. You know, I fought for freedom and liberation for my people, you know, and I wish she could have told them to take that and stick it to the you-know-where, you know. You know, because, you know, if I could have whispered in her ear and gave her the strength to stand up and tell Biden that to his face, take it and stick it up your you-know-what. Your hiney part, okay? Because I don't want the crumbs. You know, I fought 50 years. I walked, I marched, I did everything for the freedom and liberation of my people, and you going to tell me you want to give me a national holiday, some crumbs? You know, we're still not free. We're not free until all of us are free, you know?
You're
going to try to make it look like, see, I'm so tired of these people, you know, these white people, Pastor Pickney, these colonizers and these neo-colonizers that want to play with our intelligence, okay? They want to keep dumbing us down and making us think that they're going to shell down our throat whatever they give us, and we got to take it, and we better take it, you know, because that's what they did to that 94-year-old woman. They made her take something that she didn't even want. She didn't want that.
Absolutely.
That ain't what she fought for.
Well,
you know, and we've been running around here celebrating the 4th of July and celebrating Juneteenth. And Pastor Pickney, I got to say this, and then I'm going to have to let you go. But I went to a Juneteenth celebration on yesterday. Only because my friend that's running for governor here in the state of Louisiana for 2023. you know. And our organization is endorsing this black powerful man, just a down-to-earth country man, just, you know, just full of wisdom, and that, you know, he wants to put his name in the hat to run for the governor of the state of Louisiana, which I believe strongly that it's ever been a time, now is that time. But we went to this celebration, and it was supposed to be a park, and it was a big old open field. And it wasn't nothing but black people all packed up in there like sardines in this big old open field on top of a electric grid. Okay, we just had a storm here. Okay, wind and rain and all of that. But they was packed up in there on top of an electric grid. No pavilions, no the restroom facility, no water slides or water sprinklers or playground equipment or nothing like that for the kids. You done seen it before past the picnic. They just got a big old open field, okay, with the dust and the gravel and sitting on top of electric grid with ditches, okay, look like sewer ditches, you know, and the police standing on the outside, you know, escorting everybody to just park up in this big old field, you know, dust and grass and all that stuff, you know, flying all around, you know, and a homemade stage. They ain't have no stage, no pavilion, nothing like that. So the state representative was out there. Some of the city council people were out there. So I get on the stage. I'm not invited on the stage, but I get on the stage, and I ask the DJ for the mic, okay? So I get up there, and I say, I want the state representative and any elected official that's out here right now to come to the stage. I'm calling you out. I say, I double-dog dare you to come to the stage right now and tell the people, why are you calling this a park? Said it just like that, Pastor Whitney. So,
wow.
Then somebody say, the state representative, he got a lemonade stand right over there. He got, they go right over there.
Right. They pointed him out, huh?
And I still have yet to see it, okay? But that joker must have went and hid his head in the sand.
Wow.
Because he was too shamed, and it was a disgrace to the people that was out there that he would say anything to me, because I was going to, I'm telling you, Pastor Pickney, I was going to make him feel smaller than a raisin, okay? And the reason why I say a raisin instead of a pea, pea is green. He don't deserve to be a pea. He needs to be a raisin.
Amen.
So I just want to let you know how dumbed down the black people are, and how, you know, and Pastor Pickney, there are people that's willing to take anything, because when I ran up on the city councilwoman, she was like, well, you know that costs money. All that stuff you talking about costs money. And we don't have money. I said, well, I tell you what. Then you need to be the voice to make them get the money to turn this into a park.
A regular park.
Instead of this open field out here. Okay?
Absolutely.
I said, you need to be that voice. And she was like, well, you ought to see. I'm talking black woman now. These are black people, and go along with anything and think we better be satisfied or we better be so glad we got something versus nothing. And that's what President Biden did to that 94-year-old woman. I wish she would have been my grandmama. Because I sure would have told her what to say. And she probably would have said it anyway, because that was a disgrace and that was an insult to her intelligence and what she have fought for all those years, that all they want to give us is the crumbs.
You're right.
Now,
all right, Belinda. Yes, we'll talk soon, and take care of yourself.
All right.
All
have
right.
fun, baby. We're going to be looking at tell.
All
talk.
Right.
We
tell,
love y'all.
You tell
God bless
you. All right. Now, we'll talk soon. Amen. 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 Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Wow. Now, I got to bring in my main guest for the day, Myra Chapman. Talk to me, Myra. Hello? Hello? Ms. Chapman?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. I thought maybe somebody had kidnapped you. I know
actually, I've been, I don't know, I've been having weird phone issues. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Talk to me. You're kind of like breaking up a little bit. You're kind of like breaking up a little bit.
Oh, goodness. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. But I can't hear you now. I can't hear you now. All right. I'm gonna keep you on there until you're able to get to back and I'm able to hear you. Because right now I can't. But, yeah, let me get back to this Juneteenth, you know. It's unfortunate, you know, that we take crumbs, you know, and they know us. They know us quite well. They know what we are doing and what we won't do. They know what we're capable of doing and what we're not capable of doing. Like, I'm going to talk about here in Benton Harbor, where they did what they call a feasibility report. And what that feasibility report do, it tells you what people will do and what they won't do. That's what it does. It tells you what they will do and what they won't do. And that's called a feasibility report. And they do it in every single black community. You may not know it, but they contract these universities to go out and talk to people in the neighborhood. And, you know, when the students come, they ask you questions. In your eyesight, you know, they're innocent. They don't know. But what they're doing, they're getting data to know what you do. You know, here in Benton Harbor, there was a feasibility report done. I think it was done by Western Michigan, the University of Michigan, and Michigan State. And I think it was paid for. Don't hold me to this, by Whirlpool Corporation, you know, because they want to know how black people act in certain situations. And they'll send these students out, and the students will come to your house. Maybe, you know, they had no idea probably what was going on in their mind. Some of them did, some of them didn't. They will come in, and they have a set of questions that they ask you. They might even pay you $10 to answer some questions. They might pay you $5 to answer some questions. But what they do, they get these answers, and sometimes in a low-income area need money. You know, $10 and, you know, may not be a lot to you, but to a person who hasn't eaten in a day or two, $10 is a lot of money. So they'll go to places like the soup kitchen. They'll go to the schools, they'll go to the project areas, the low-income homes, and they'll go around asking them questions about themselves to find out how they react to certain situations, how they act when it comes to certain things in the community. How do you feel about racism? How do you feel about this? Have you ever been a victim of racism, which almost every single black person in the world probably have? You know, I can't say every person, but I can tell you this much, that it's here and it's happening. So what we have to do, we have to understand they're getting data on us so they can know how to deal with us. See, I always talk about we're 50 million strong. Or better, we are. But we don't realize that because they got us so divided up. They got about 10 million of us on their side trying to kill us. They got agents. They got these guys that that infiltrate the gangs, and they bring the AK-47s and all these automatic weapons and guns to them. You know, like in Chicago, there was several cases of AK-47 dumped in the alley, and they told the gang leader where to get them and where to pick them up. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They told them where the guns was and where and the time they should pick them up. They had to be there at a certain time to get these guns. And I'm talking about the AK-47s. You know, these are, I'm talking about with ammunition. They had them. And I can't say they're doing it in every community, but just about every community, big city, have these AK-47s. What do you need an AK-47 for? You know, what? If you don't think you're protected, 38, a pistol or something like that, then you're a straight up coward. You're a straight up coward. And I always say this. I mean, what type of person, if you got a gun on somebody, you got the advantage. Why would you have to shoot and kill them? I saw this thing on TV out of New York. It broke my heart. This guy was trying to put children, I don't know whether it was his children or who children it was or children just on the streets. He put this boy and this girl. He tried to put this girl in front of him because the guy was coming to shoot, was shooting him. He did shoot the boy, the guy in the back, but didn't shoot the kid, which was, I mean, the way the guy, he didn't care whether he hit the kids or not. He was shooting. You know, when you find people who don't care about hitting innocent people, someone who have not done anything to you, and you willing to kill a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old just to get at somebody else, something is wrong. That makes no sense to me. We sit around here and accept it. Guys, they know who he is. His family know that was a guy who was shooting. Turn his butt in. Turn him in. Because if I ever see somebody shooting somebody, I don't care who it is. If it's a family member, you're going to jail. Because I can't ask you turn somebody else in and I'm not willing to turn somebody in. If we don't stop these guys from killing in our community, this thing gonna continue. I used to talk about this murdering corporate out of Chicago where you can call somebody up on the phone and tell them that you want someone killed. And they'll give you a price. What kind of madness is that? That's right. They will give you a price. And look, and this guy was in operation for almost 10 years. Same number where you can call in and ask for a price to kill your husband, your wife, your cousin, or anybody in the streets. And they'll give you a price. They'll give you a price. Well, we'll do that for $5,000. We'll do that for $10,000. Let me look it up and see how much we'll do two people for something like that. They was actually doing this. And these guys, some of them was federal agents working inside doing the shooting. It was women and men both killing people in the streets being paid for. Wow, unbelievable. They call themselves Murder Incorporated. And they would, they had a number, a phone number, and when you call them, they said Murder Incorporated. and then the person on the other end of the line will say what he won't do. I need to have my cousin killed. What is the cause of that? You know, and they take the data down, all the information, and they'll give him a price, $5,000. Oh, for that one, that's going to be $10,000. Well, that might be a little hard. And they go out and do it. And these people knew that these people was in resistance. They knew that these people was doing this. And they said nothing. And then when something happened to a member of their family, they want justice all of a sudden. They didn't want justice when somebody else's cousin got killed. They didn't want justice then, but when something happened to their family, they want justice. Change the way we do business. We got to change the way we are. We got to change how we do things. Until that thing's going to continue just like it is. All this shooting and killing by black folks around him on black-on-black crime, what I'm saying is this. We have to get better. We're not going to get better until we got to do better. Even though in the city of Benton Harbor, there is no police department worse than Benton Harbor and Benton Township. There's none. They can't stop anything. They can be looking at someone who actually shoots somebody and will not be able to solve the crime. They used to throw people in jail, just for being black. If they know that you're a killer, they don't mind you walking around here because they know that you're going to kill somebody else. They don't care. We got this Jessica Gray case that they know this guy killed this girl. They know it. But he got rid of the body. They can't find the body. They haven't found the body in almost 2 years. But they found blood in his house, front doorsteps, on this bed, in the vehicle that he was caught in, her blood, yet they won't charge this guy. They won't charge him with the murder of Jessica Gray. And it's a shame that we have to pay for these police officers. That's a shame. All they're doing is stealing money from us. That's all. They sit in the parking lot all day and all night, eat lunch. Pitiful. I wish that I could figure out a way how not to pay them. I haven't got that far yet. You know, when you pay your taxes, some of your taxes go straight to the police department, you know. And here's the thing. When I said defund the police department, I mean, you know, they may be joking to, oh, I don't mean defund. I mean defund them. I mean, matter of fact, tear them apart. We'll do better protecting ourselves. You know? Because that money that you're paying them, you could save that money. And we're living in this time. When will we change the way we do business? When will we stop all this madness? And here's the thing that you don't know. We allow it. The government, they will come in and hire people to kill you like it ain't nothing. And make it look like you committed suicide or something. They're good at that. And then they work it all the way around. And I just want to say to all my brothers out there, I want to wish you all a happy, happy Father's Day. That's right. That means a lot. We need more fathers at home with their babies. We need more fathers doing things to take care of their children. We need more fathers guiding their son. We need to do a little less partying and a little bit more fathering to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do to prepare our children for the future. We need to do that. We need to learn to do that. It's something that we have to do, unless we're going to end up being a dying generation. What's going on today, people doing drive-bys. I'm surprised people don't call these people that's doing the drive-by cowards. Bunch of cowards. Shooting little kids. Shooting little five-year-old babies. Not caring whether you kill them or not. And you think it's all right? They're some kind of hero? Wow, what world do y'all live in? Listen, if I ever see something happen, I'm telling you right now. And, you know, because, you know, you guys, y'all sit around and tell me you don't want to tell, you don't want to be no snitch. Well, when your time comes, you want somebody to come tell. So get off your butt and tell on and tell people when people out here. That's why they keep doing this stuff. What is that? Snitches, yeah, they're going to get it if you keep your mouth shut. We got to change the way we do business. We got to change what we're doing, because what we're doing is not taking us to the next level. We can do it. We can do it. We know that the government is out here doing what they're supposed to do. That's what they're supposed to, neutralize us. And that's what they're doing. But here's the thing. They can monitor you from anywhere now. They can be next door. They can use a helicopter. They can use a plane. They can use a car. They can look right in your house. Shades down, everything down. This is what they can do. They got all kind of equipment. And they got equipment to do all these different things. And they're willing to do it. And they're doing it with your money. They're using your money to spy on you, for you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I just want to once again wish all my brothers a happy, happy Father's Day. And I want you to stay safe. I mean, take care of your children. I know how difficult it is. Take care of your children. You know, because I tell you, one of the things I have learned, I have watched children grow up, and they want their daddy. They want to be part of their father's life. They want it. And then when they get too old, or when they get older, he'll miss all that. So I'm going to say to each and every one of you, Happy Father's Day. And I will see you all next week, same time, same station.